Our scripture for today comes from the second letter to the Corinthian church. Listen to these words in chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making every rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also. In all my years of studying about the spiritual life, I keep learning more and more about the need to have an open heart. To have a heart that's not only open to God, but also open to my sisters and brothers in the faith, in whatever church or denomination I find them in. You see, we need to be open to those that are walking the same path with us also. If nothing else, because as God pours God's love and peace and grace and mercy and patience into us, it should be flowing out of us to those around us. And we should also be receiving it from those around us as we walk the spiritual journey. Let me give you a little history of the Corinth church so that maybe you can understand Paul's letters a little bit better. The Corinth church was a church that had lots of problems. And Paul's two letters to the Corinth church are not nice letters. The parts of the letters that Paul tells them over and over again what they should be doing as Christians. One, because some of them have forgotten what they should be doing. And they've brought into the midst of the church all of their divisions that happen in their world. There's a long piece where Paul talks about the communion, and he talks about the Lord's Supper and how they have done it so wrong. You see, they end up having a big feast. And the way that they have their feast is that the people who are the highest bits of society, those who are the richest, those who are the most prominent in society, eat at the meal first. And if anything's left over, then those that are poorest can eat also. Now that is such a far idea from what communion is, isn't it? Such a far idea. Communion is for all people. And it's for all to come and to celebrate communion together to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. That's not the only problems the Corinth church has. they have tons of other problems. In my daily devotion time, I've started reading through 1 Corinthians, just a little piece each day. And it amazes me some of the things that Paul addresses. And I just want to share one of those things with you, and then I'll come back to the sermon. One of those things that Paul shares with them is they've been fighting about who they are. And some have been going around and saying, well, I'm of Paul. And some are saying, I'm of Apollos. And some are saying, I'm of... And Paul says, don't you understand? There's only one Christ. Don't you understand that? There's only one Christ. Christ is not divided amongst all these people. And Paul even goes on to say, I'm glad I didn't baptize a bunch of you. Because some of the ones that he baptized said, well, I'm of Paul. And some of the other ones said, well, I'm of Apostle because Apostle baptized me. I gave a little bit of time thinking about that. Do you realize we still do the same thing? Do you realize that we still do the same thing? Amen. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm Presbyterian. Well, I'm a United Methodist. And I'm a Pentecostal Holiness. I mean, do you realize we do the same thing still? Earlier this year, as I realized that a number of pastors were leaving their positions at churches here in town, and some of the most prominent churches here in town, I started praying and saying, Lord, what's going on? What's happening? Why are pastors leaving all of a sudden and all at the same time? I've never seen that many people from prominent churches leave all at the same time. The Catholic Church just got a new minister. The Episcopal Church is looking for one. The Lutheran Church is looking for one. One of the United Methodist churches just changed their pastor this past month. The Presbyterian Church over here has only had their pastor for about 6 or 7 months. And by the way, we need to be in prayer for him. He is not in the best of health right now and has been told by his doctor that he must just rest. So he's not even filling the pulpit right now. So please be in prayer for him. And I started praying for all of the churches here in town, and in my mind, I've gotten up over 20 churches that are right inside the town of Withville. And I've started praying about this and wondering, what would happen if we all said we're of the body of Christ? What if we all said I'm of the family of God? Instead of walking around saying I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I wonder what would happen. We'd have church. Amen, brother. We would have church. Because the truth is, we're not in competition with the other churches. The truth is that we should be working together as sisters and brothers in the faith. And that's what this sermon is about. So the very first thing I want you to understand about this sermon is that we should remember this letter is written to people in the church. It's not written to people outside the church. Paul is writing this letter to people in the church and telling them what they should be about and what they should be doing. I want to make that distinction because in verse 2 it says, Paul says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And maybe you've heard that preached as a sermon sometime where someone said, now it's time for you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Which is absolutely true. If you have not done that, don't leave today without making that commitment. That's the only way you'll be saved. There is no other way by Scripture. But listen to this sentence again and think about it this way. This is written to people who have already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Already. Paul writes, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What does that mean to me? Now that I realize it's written to the people of the church, it means that God is trying to say to us, there's a step that we need to take beyond accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's a step that we need to take, and there's a place that we need to go. There's something that needs to be done actively in our lives. Because Paul tells them that today is the day that they should respond to God's call in their lives. Today is the day that they should respond to God's call in their lives. Today. I can very confidently say this. You are here today because the Holy Spirit nudged you to be here. You are here today because the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you about what God has for your life. You are here today because God wants you to take one more step on your spiritual journey. That's why you're here. Maybe you said, well, I always go to church on Sunday, so I'm going to always go. I can very confidently say the Holy Spirit asked you to be here today. And I prayed for you before you got here. I prayed for you before you got here. Asking God to help you open your heart to hear what God's saying to you. Because today is the day that you need to respond. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month or next year. Matter of fact, how do we often respond? Often we respond with reasons why we cannot do it today. Don't we? Well, Lord, I got this to get done today. I've got to do grocery shopping today, Lord. And after I get the grocery shopping done, I'll sit down and spend some time with you. Well, Lord, today I have to go to work, or today I'm volunteering at such and such a place, or today this, that, or the other. Don't we often make excuses? If nothing else, I find that people of our world have their schedules so full that there's not a space that they can do anything else. I know some young families with at least a couple of children. And they have their children involved in some activity every day. And there's never an opportunity for them to just be family. There's never an opportunity for them to slow down for a moment. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. If you sit down to have some prayer time because you realize that you need to spend some time with the Lord and you realize the Lord needs to speak to you, if you sit down and within 5 to 10 minutes fall asleep, your body's trying to tell you something. Your body's trying to tell you you've been going too much. For many years now, when that happens to me, I just set aside whatever I'm doing, whatever I expected to accomplish, and take a nap first. Because my body's trying to tell me something. That I've been too involved, too active, doing too much, that I can't even spend a few moments to sit down with God without falling asleep. Now, I do realize this, and I want to let you know that I understand that there are some folks to particularly folks that are more advanced in experience than I am, if you understand what I'm saying, that are on medication that sometimes when you sit down, you automatically just fall asleep. It does happen. And for those of you that it happens to on Sunday mornings, I don't take it personal. I just assume that you're on medication that makes you go to sleep when you sit still. But maybe our body is telling us something. How many times have you made excuses that you can't take another step in your spiritual journey? You see, Paul didn't allow any excuses to become a stumbling block for him or for those around him. And he lists quite a long passage of so many things. And he says right at the beginning, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Paul says, I'm not going to make up excuses. When I don't spend time with God, it's because I don't prioritize it and make it part of what I do. I am now in the habit, after so many years, when I get up in the morning, get dressed, have at least a part of a cup of coffee, and eat my breakfast, the very first thing I do before I do anything else is sit down with God. Most of the time, that involves some prayer time. It involves reading a small piece of scripture. It involves sitting quietly for at least 15 minutes and let God talk to me. Not to tell God anything. Just to let God talk to me. And then every day I use the Lord's Prayer. And then I begin my prayers for the different churches in town and the different people I know that need God's help. Almost every day. And I have learned to do that now without making excuses. It's part of my schedule. It's part of what I do to open my heart to God. Listen how Paul ends this passage. In verse 11, he says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding any affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. You see, the key to the spiritual life is to have an open heart before God and with our Christian sisters and brothers. An open heart before God and with our Christian sisters and brothers. I've met many people that feel that their spiritual journey and their spiritual life is private, and they don't share it with other people. That's between God and I. And particularly Baptists love to say, I can be my own priest. I don't need a priest. And I don't need to confess to anyone else, and I don't need to open up to anyone else, and I don't need to share with anyone else. And then normally they follow it up with, I don't need to tell anyone about Jesus Christ because they'll know it by looking at my life. Don't you think people would have known it by looking at Jesus Christ's life? But yet he spoke. Yet he shared. Here's what I want to say, and this is something that I thought about, I've been thinking about for many, many years. And you've heard me say this before. Your spiritual journey is meant to be personal, but it is never meant to be private. You cannot find a scripture for me that says your spiritual journey is to be private only. What does Paul say here to the Corinthian church? We have opened our hearts wide to you, and we have given all the affection that we can, but you have not done the same. Can't we please have a fair exchange? That's what Paul says to this church. He says, open wide your hearts also. Open wide your hearts also. I want to ask you to think just for a moment. I'm going to give you a moment to think. I'm going to be silent, so be prepared. Is your heart open to God? Is your heart open to your Christian sisters and brothers? Paul says, I didn't allow any excuse to become a stumbling block for me or for others. Folks, it's time to set aside all our excuses. It's time to set them all aside. And to do what Paul asked here, because what does Paul say to this church? I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to take a step. Not this afternoon. Now. Now is the time to do what God's asking you to do. Not say, God, let me take care of this first. Jesus tells a story about that, doesn't he? Three different people come to him and say three different things. Lord, I want to follow you, but let me go check on my family first. Lord, I want to follow you, but I just started a new business deal, and I've got to go check on that. And for all three people, Jesus says what? I don't want you. If you're going to make excuses in the spiritual life, God says, I don't want you. Now's the time to stop making excuses. Now, today. Will you get up tomorrow morning? Trust me. Ask Deanne if you want to find out for sure. I am not a morning person. Now, Jan can tell if I've had two cups of coffee before I come to work at 9 o'clock. I'm not a morning person. But yet, I've always given the thought to starting my day without God is like saying, God, I don't need you. I got this. And when I get in trouble today, I'll turn to you then. Is your heart open to God? Is your heart open to other sisters and brothers in the faith that are part of the body of Christ, no matter which church they go to, no matter what denomination they're part of? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. There are Christians in every denomination of the Christian church. There are also non-Christians in every denomination of the Christian church. Jesus speaks a parable about that too. Maybe you need to go and look that one up. It's about the parable of the wheat and the tares, found in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says there will be both in the church every year. Is your heart open to God? Because I'm telling you, God is nudging you today to take a step. God didn't get the baseball bat out to hit you between the eyeballs, okay? The Holy Spirit comes into your life and is nudging you and continues to nudge you and continues to nudge you until you take the step you need to take. Trust me, I'm speaking to myself too, because I know there's some steps I need to take in my relationship with God, in being more open with God, and also being more open with other people that are my sisters and brothers in the faith. Your journey is meant to be personal, but it's not scriptural to make it private. Will you open your heart to God further today? Will you open your heart further to those around you? So I'm asking you to think about this. How will you set aside your excuses and open your heart for the continuing spiritual journey? How will you set aside your excuses and open your heart for the continuing spiritual journey? Maybe there's some way you need to respond today to that question. You can do it right where you are as we listen to Kathy play the postlude. Remember, this postlude is about taking some time to talk to God about what needs to be done. And that's why I'm glad that we've stopped using it as traveling music. The postlude in many churches is what's called traveling music. It's music to get up out of your pew and walk out the door. That was never what it was meant for. It was meant as a time of reflection over what you've just heard God say to you before you leave. And how will you take it from this place out the door? That's what the postlude is for. Maybe you need to respond this morning, and you can do that right where you are as you listen. Or you can come down front. For whatever reason you need, if you need time in prayer, just by yourself, that's fine. But I have always found taking a step, a physical step, shows God that I really mean this. And guess what? It also opens your life to other people that watch you step forward so that they can pray for you and support you and encourage you. That happened a few weeks ago when we had someone come forward. I watched after the service, many people went over and spoke to that person afterwards and said, "I'm praying for you." If you need to step forward this morning, I would encourage you to. Let us pray. Lord, you have done an incredible thing in our lives. You have opened doors and avenues and ways. You continue to come in and nudge us to open our hearts to you and to our sisters and brothers in the faith, wherever we find them. Lord, as you're nudging us right now, help each one of us to make the commitment that we need to make, so that we can go out in the midst of this world that is filled with darkness and be an incredible light. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.